against Bitcoin.
It's going up forever, Warren.
You're against Bitcoin, you're against freedom.
Because they expect
Well, because they want to sell it eventually, Michael. I mean, let's be honest. Most of the people who are, yes, sure, some people pass it on to their children. But, like, most of the people who are buying assets at some point want to sell the assets at a profit. So
Let me say it a different way.
Okay.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, there's a name for them. We call them poor.
Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, covering breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Ladies and gentlemen, we are streaming live Friday, April 12th from the floor of BitBlock Boom. We managed to pull it off. I'm here with my optimistic co-host, the Optimist Field. We have the managing director and the host of Bitcoin Veterans, Alex Stanzik, and of course, our boy Adam O'Brien, CEO and founder of Bitcoin Well. It's going to be a great show, ladies and gentlemen. The IMF is holding El Salvador hostage. They want El Salvador apparently to change some rules apparently in regards to Bitcoin, and they're dangling that that IMF loan over their heads. It's almost as if the IMF is scared of Bitcoin. I mean, isn't the whole point of the IMF is to help these developing countries? It's almost as if they're
allegedly.
It's almost as if they're doing the exact opposite. It's almost as if the IMF is a system of control. Isn't it convenient that the IMF is literally located in Washington, D.C.? It's another coincidence. It's just, these are all coincidences. Anyway, it's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about BitBlock Boom. We also have a very, very special guest joining us today as well. And we have some videos in regards to the legacy corporate media of them trying to justify and explain inflation. So we're going to get some live reactions from our A-list panelists that we have on today. And of course, let's bring up our guest, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
We put up his
looking volume. Forward to it.
Man, thank you for joining us. So, Jeffrey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a quick elevator pitch. I'm a 30-year serial entrepreneur in the fiat world, down the Bitcoin rabbit hole in 2020, co-founded Mass Adoption, which is a New England meetup group, and we're on tap for our second Freedom Festival in May. That's it.
You know, it's actually interesting that you tell me that, because I was speaking to Adam. Adam got in at an ungodly hour last night, and we were talking, and he was like, and I was like, dude, these Bitcoin conferences, bro, like, holy shit. And then he's like, he looks at me, he's like, Nico, you got to do the Freedom Festivals. So are you going to that one, Adam?
Dude, I am going to be there with my entire family, all four of my kids, my wife, even my mom. We're going to go and get some freedom in. I thought it was in Boston, but it's, my geography is like not awesome. So it's nearby Boston is where it is.
So speaking of freedom, I know Alex absolutely loves freedom. Actually, Alex can do many things. Alex Stanzik can cut through a hot knife with butter. When Alex Stanzik jumps into a pool, he doesn't get wet. The water gets Alex Stanzik. Alex Stanzik could light a fire by rubbing two ice cubes together. Alex Stanzik can also make opinions cry. Alex, is that true?
I don't know about all that. I don't know. I can't believe you just did that live.
Wait.
Hang on. Not all that, but some of that might be true.
Wait. Can we do the light one? The light one.
But I butchered it last time.
You have it on your phone?
No, I don't know where it is.
I got it. Alex, the darkness recedes out of respect when Alex walks into the room.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe you blew me up.
I can confirm it was so strange. Like, I'm not gonna lie, guys. Like, we walked into a dark room, and then all of a sudden the room doesn't even have lights, and it just turned light, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then Alex confirmed it to me. It was just because the darkness was scared of him. So anyways, Alex Stanzik is also the host of Bitcoin Veterans, which we can't show. Here we go. And I'm a huge fan of what they're doing. It's going to be absolutely awesome. We're going to be doing a live Simply Bitcoin from the Bitcoin Veterans. What do you call that?
Citadel.
Veterans Citadel.
Yeah, Bitcoin Mag has really hooked us up. So for the Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville, They've given us a breakout room. We've got a basically about 3,000 square foot of space. We're calling it the Bitcoin Veterans Citadel. You'll be able to, it's going to be all the way in the back, but you'll be able to find it because it's going to have camo netting all over the front of it, sandbags, all that kind of stuff. We'll have our own stage in there, so we'll have breakout sessions talking about all kinds of stuff. Start 9 is going to be doing like a thing where they're explaining how all that stuff works. We'll be doing like clinics on Meshtastic, ham radio, how to chain surveil yourself, all this other kind of stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, live streaming from the Bitcoin Veterans Citadel at Bitcoin 2024. It's going to be a hell of a conference. Anyways, guys, we have a great show lined up for you guys. We're going to do the Friday meme review. I know a lot of you guys have been waiting for that, so we're going to bring it back. There's roughly 350 of you guys watching live between YouTube and X, and about 24 of you watching live on Rumble. So if you guys are enjoying the show so far, make sure to smash that like button. Tells the algos to push our content. YouTube is inundated with altcoin content. Help us push the orange signal forward to smash that like button. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, before we move on to the numbers, I do want to give a very, very special shout out to our lead sponsor. And of course, I'm talking about Bitcoin Well. Bitcoin Well is the best place to build your automatic self-custody Bitcoin stack. It's a publicly traded company coming out of Canada that recently expanded to all 50 US states. And that's right, it's self-custody by default, which perfectly aligns with the Simply Bitcoin ethos of the separation of money and state, because after all, self-custody is the revolution. Go to bitcoinwell.com today, bitcoinwell.com/simplybitcoin today, and sign up to the platform. They also have the Bitcoin contest, which is currently live. Thank you, Opti. Currently, Adam just updated me. The current jackpot is 4.8 million Satoshis. So if you go to bitcoinwell.com today, you sign up, and when you sign up, when you buy Bitcoin, you earn points and you could put points towards the jackpot. And you have an opportunity to win that jackpot, 4.8 million sats. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk, right? It could be worth a lot of money one day. I think a dollar sat parity, what is that? $48 million? That'd be absolutely nuts.
Quinn Wells giving away 48 million.
4.8, but still crazy. Hey, what's up, Nathan? Hey, you got rid of the tip, bro. No, it's still a little bit.
All right, guys, as you can see, chaos down here on the floor.
It's organized chaos. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, check out bitcoinwell.com today. Let's get to numbers. We have a lot to talk about. Let's check it out. Here we go.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Is your Bitcoin in cold storage really secure? Is your seed phrase really secure? Stampseed's do-it-yourself kit has everything you need to hammer your seed words into commercial-grade titanium plates instead of just writing them on paper. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage. You want to put your generational wealth on one of the strongest metals on planet Earth, titanium. Your words are actually stamped into this metal plate with this hammer and these letter stamps. And once your words are in, they aren't going anywhere. No risk of the plate breaking apart and pieces falling everywhere. Titanium stamped seeds will survive nearly triple the heat produced by a house fire. They're also crush-proof, waterproof, non-corrosive, and time-proof. All things that paper is not, allowing you to hodl your Bitcoin with peace of mind for the long haul. Stamp your seed on Stampseed. Do you like your grandchildren? If you do, if you want to maintain the relationship with your grandchildren, you want to store your generational wealth properly, and that's why you have to stamp your seed phrase on titanium, and you got to get yourself a stamp seed storage kit. Because if you store your generational wealth on paper, maybe that paper just, you know, gets eaten by a dog, fire, and then your grandchildren will never talk to you again. That'd be horrific, right? So check out Stamp Seed today, and you can use promo code SIMPLY to get 15% off. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price, thanks Opti, is $68,820. That's per dollar, 1,453. Block height, 838,883. Blocks to halving, 1,117. We're coming up to the halving, ladies and gentlemen, April 19th. I don't know if I could say it, but I might have a surprise for you guys next week. Halving estimate, April 20th. Oh, so it's back to 420. That is good, because it's been kind of fluctuating between April 19th 19th to April 20th. It's interesting. Total Lightning Network capacity, 4,372. Capacity value, $300 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.73%. The total market capitalization of Bitcoin, $1.35 trillion. Bitcoin versus gold market cap, 9.80%. So we have this awesome panel today. And because we have this awesome panel today, I'm going to play you guys some Clown World propaganda media and them talking about, you know, inflation and all this stuff. And you guys already know my thoughts on how, you know, the media treats inflation and how a lot of people are just not awakened to it. You know, when they say inflation is down, you see the White House press secretary go, inflation is down. What they're not telling you is that the prices aren't going to go back down to their original prices. What they're telling you is that the rate of which prices are increasing is slowing. But of course, no one knows the detail. No one actually like pays attention to that. Anyways, let's check out the clip.
Core inflation, which is a better indicator of sort of what's happening with underlying inflation, that also picked up. So taking a look at some of the categories we saw in the month of March that continued to increase. So gas prices, that was a pretty big contributor here, right? It was really gas and shelter, I should say, that contributed to more than half of the
shelter
increase.
Has shelter gone down at all? I mean, I can't even remember a month where it's actually we've seen a decrease, right?
It's a really important point. It hasn't. And so we had been hoping, actually, because if you think about shelter, if you think about rents, for example, 12-month leases, we were hoping that this was a lagging indicator, that we would actually start to get some progress with shelter, but that didn't happen. Core inflation, which is a better indicator.
So that applies to everyone for some reason if you're still living on the fiat standard, because if you've been living on a Bitcoin standard, while all these, you know, people continue to just try to explain and justify why money should just decrease in purchasing power as if it's like a fact of nature, the rest of us that have been living on a Bitcoin standard, housing has gotten 87% cheaper on a 5-year scale. The S&P 86% cheaper. Gold 92% cheaper. That's for you, Peter Schiff. Crude oil 92% cheaper. The United States dollar 92.64% cheaper. So the American dream isn't dead. The American dream is dead on a fiat standard, but on a Bitcoin standard, the American dream is thriving. And not only is it the American dream anymore, now it's a worldwide dream if you adopt Bitcoin, right? Right. So I just find it like funny that legacy media continues to kind of like, you know, explain, like they take the government numbers and they're like, yeah, you know, like, and then the even the anchor lady's like, I don't kind of believe that, like, housing prices has gone through the roof. Like, it's so obvious. They just continue to rig the numbers, you know, to benefit their political allies. It's just absolutely crazy. Alex has a very special name for these people. He calls them lizard people. Alex, do you have any comments on that?
Just that it's fascinating, and it's important to keep in mind that whenever these inflation numbers are presented and reported, that there are incentives for these folks to underreport the actual rate of inflation. There's a lot of things that are tied to these indices: how much government employees are paid, how much their salary increases each year, Social Security payments. There are a ton of different second and third order ramifications to these reports. And if you work for the government, or the government itself has sort of an incentive to not really tell you the full picture. And so my understanding is that the actual CPI numbers have been kind of tinkered with quite a bit over the last couple of decades. If you go back and you talk to anybody who tracks inflation the way it was calculated back in the early 80s, and they will tell you that based upon those basically, the ways that they calculate the inflation from back then, if they use the same methodology today, we'd be seeing 10%+ inflation every single year in CPI. So that's kind of mind-blowing. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything they don't already know. Anybody who actually shops for food already knows this is happening in many other areas. So just important to keep in mind. I mean, opt out. Like, this system is mathematically at a point right now where I think it's just going to continue to get worse. I think the number that they're talking about lately is that they're printing something like $1 trillion every 100 days now. I mean, come on, guys. We're at a point where this thing is, it just feels like it's getting a little wobbly, right? Death. And people know it.
Death spiral. We're starting the death spiral.
You want to continue with that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know what actually stuck out to me a little bit more in that is they're talking about shelter, and they're like, oh, I really wished, I was hoping to see that shelter would drop. And then in the same breath, those same people will tell you to go into 30 years of debt to buy a house, which, by the way, guys, house is shelter. So they're simultaneously saying shelter is too expensive. I wish to go down, but you should buy shelter. Like, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's just pissing me off. Housing, I just made a video about this, talking about how shelter and houses are just massive liabilities and not even close to assets. The only real estate that exists is Bitcoin, because you can actually self-custody it. You can take it away. It's not taxed just to own. There's no maintenance required. It's just the number one form of protecting and preserving the value that you create with your time. And so, yeah, man, like, this system mathematically incapable of success, mathematically incapable of moving forward and of growing, and the Bitcoin standard is coming. And it's going to be, I think Safe said it best, the adoption is not some cute tech graph like an iPhone where it's like, oh, look at this uptrend, we got the S-curve. It is vertical. It's like gunpowder. You adopt it or you die. That's it, period. And the Bitcoin adoption curve will be a right angle.
Bro, absolutely. Bitcoin or slavery, right? You adopt it or you get left behind. It's your choice, ladies and gentlemen, right? Are you going to get on a sound money standard, or are you going to get left behind, really? And I think, I think this is going to happen a lot quicker than people anticipate, just because of kind of what has happened, what has transpired over the last year or so, right? You have Nayib Bukele vindicated the nation state strategy. You have Michael Saylor vindicated on the public company level. You have the introduction of the Bitcoin spot ETFs, which is like, it's kind of like a legitimization of Bitcoin in the eyes of institutional investors. So yes, I think that this is, we're heading into the all at once point. And I think we're heading there very, very quickly. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, I mean, I always say the same thing, guys. If you are still believing the official numbers, you are lost in the sauce. And the worst part about the CPI numbers, guys, and not to rehash what everyone says, but they're literally taking out like the essentials of life. And they're like, yeah, CPI numbers, it's still high, but like, don't worry about the fact that your food's more expensive, your real estate's more expensive, everything that matters is more expensive, energy's more expensive. But guys, you know, inflation, it's a little higher than we thought it was, but hey, it's not that bad. And it's like, no, anyone that is actually awake or actually goes to the grocery store, you know, pays their utilities, they understand one thing: my dollar is not going as far as it used to. And what's Nick always say? You can't hide the dollar shock of the fact that you are getting poorer. This is what's happening.
Shock. You can't hide this.
Yeah, the sticker shock. Exactly.
The sticker shock does not lie. Anyways, I'm going to pass it on to our guest, Jeffrey. You are throwing a Freedom Festival. I feel like you can't be free unless you have Bitcoin and self-custody. I think that, and I actually tweeted this out a couple days ago, you can't be pro-freedom and anti-Bitcoin, right? Like, and you can't be pro-freedom and not talk the Bitcoin gospel, right? Because you're literally not talking about one of the most powerful tools in human history that's ever been invented to protect the sovereignty of individuals, the financial sovereignty of individuals. So, you know, I think the freedom movement and the Bitcoin movement go hand in hand. So, Jeffrey, I want to get your take on, this clown world CPI updates on the legacy corporate media, which independent media is slowly replacing, by the way. Drop mic.
Well, Nick, I completely agree with everything all you guys said, so I won't rehash it. But just one more point, just so you understand, everything that comes from the mainstream media is a complete fabrication. If you guys, I'm sure most of your audience has read 1984, up that, is down, that, left that is right.
You sound like an extremist.
I'm an extremist until I'm mainstream, and that's going to happen. So, and also, you have to understand the incentive of making lower fabricated CPI numbers is directly tied to cost of living increases that people on Social Security and all of the social benefits get with their increase every year. So they're incented to keep it low on purpose so they don't have to increase the amount of money they give to people trying to fight inflation.
100%. Really good take. We had a question in the chat. Someone was asking what a Freedom Festival is. So if you can give a quick, like, 1 to 2 minute elevator pitch, Jeffrey.
Great question. So, you know, when we initially started it, we didn't want to do another Bitcoin festival or conference. There's a lot of great ones out there, and we'll let them do that. We wanted to create a festival that is powered by Bitcoin. So you can't have freedom without Bitcoin. So we don't even have to really mention Bitcoin in our in our marketing because it's freedom. And then we get people under the tent at our Freedom Festival and show them that Bitcoin is the tool to solidify and protect your freedoms. So it's basically a day of amazing speakers. Last year, we had Greg Foss, Larry Lepard, BJ Dichter, Jason Mayer, a lot of great people. This year, we have a great lineup as well. We have amazing activities, a day of just healthy living. We have Texas Slim with a cattleman's feast. So we're there for education, and we're there for just like-minded people gathering. A couple of points I'd like to mention. Anyone under the age of 16 is free. So we're not in this to make money. We're truly in this to educate people and spread the word of Bitcoin and mass adoption. So bring your family. I know Adam's bringing his family. Anyone under the age of 16 is free. And we've also come up with an initial, we're trying a new thing. Our ticket price is only $100. We're trying to keep it very favorable to the plebs. But we've come up with an innovation of something called a non-coiner ticket. We have a $25 festival ticket as a non-coiner. You don't get full access to all the activities at the festival, but you get in, you get to hear the speakers, and you get to interact with the Bitcoiners. Because we were thinking, if you're a non-coiner, you don't want to spend $100 to go to a Bitcoin festival. So we're really, truly trying to entice everyone to come with a $25 non-coiner ticket.
Beautiful, beautiful. Love that. The freedom movement is the Bitcoin movement. I think it's just a matter of time before people come to realize that. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, before we get to the news, I do want to drop a quick fact. This has been confirmed to me. It's 100% true. Go sit around the campfire and tell Alex Stanzik stories. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the news.
The Daily News.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Foundation Devices. It's self-custody done right. They built a premium grade hardware wallet called Passport right here in the US. It's fully open source and verifiable. It's the most intuitive Bitcoin wallet designed with a UX reminiscent of a simple feature phone. So you will know how to navigate it and use it the moment you pick it up. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own hands in just a few minutes. Experience the peace of mind that comes with taking ownership of your own keys. After a massive sellout during Bitcoin Miami 2023, the Passport is back in stock at foundationdevices.com. Bitcoin only, open source verifiable, completely air gap security model, gorgeous design craft, premium grade materials. If you're thinking about getting your Bitcoin off exchanges, this is the one for you. Check out the Passport link in the show notes below to learn more. So you want to know another thing that your grandchildren will be upset with you at is if, like, for some reason, for whatever reason, you know, you decide to, like, not take self-custody and, you know, you don't do it properly. They'll get upset with you. So what I recommend is getting yourself a hardware wallet. And of course, I recommend Passport by Foundation Devices. Completely open source. It's extremely easy to use, especially if you pair it with the Envoy app. So scan the QR code if you don't want your grandchildren to hate you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to talk about the breaking news of today, which I think is just absolutely fascinating. But it also tells me that we are winning. And the reason for that is because, you know, you guys know the famous saying, the flak is heaviest over the target. By the way, there is almost 800 live viewers between YouTube and X, and another 50 or 60 of you guys on Rumble. So if you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to smash that like button. It really helps with the algos. Anyways, so I do want to read a little bit from this Bitcoin Magazine article that... No, not this one. I apologize, guys. This one right here. That was reposted by the NASDAQ. So IMF demands changes to El Salvador's Bitcoin law. Goes on to say, the International Monetary Fund is reportedly demanding changes to El Salvador's pro-Bitcoin law, hindering the country's attempt to secure a $1.4 billion credit line, as reported by InfoBay. El Salvador made history in 2021. By adopting Bitcoin as legal tender under President Nayib Bukele, the country has since bet big on Bitcoin, building Bitcoin reserves, mining Bitcoin, and launching educational initiatives. However, the IMF has objected to the Bitcoin law amid loan negotiations with El Salvador, which needs financing to pay debts and obligations. Talks have stalled for nearly 2 years over the IMF's calls to limit Bitcoin's scope in the country. what I gotta say is, like, isn't El Salvador a sovereign country? Don't we always hear about the importance of democracy? Don't we always talk about, you know, we always hear this, but I feel like it's like if democracy goes a certain way, that's what they're talking about. You know, this is absolutely absurd. You know, El Salvador voted on this. A vast majority of El Salvador's candidates politicians and, you know, electoral body or whatever voted the Bitcoin law legally into law. The people of El Salvador wanted to make Bitcoin legal tender. And here you have an international organization literally holding El Salvador hostage because of the Bitcoin legal tender law. What are they so afraid of? I'll get to that in a second. And this isn't only something that has happened in El Salvador. This also happened in Argentina as well. Part of the conditions that the IMF gave Argentina when they gave them another bailout, specifically a $45 billion loan, part of the conditions, to quote the CoinDesk article, Argentine Congress approves IMF debt deal that would discourage crypto use. That's right. The IMF went to Argentina, said, we'll give you a $45 billion loan, but you have to discourage your populace not to use Bitcoin. Meanwhile, at the time, the Argentines were dealing with 145% inflation. So excuse my language, what the fuck is the point of the IMF? Like, they tout themselves as, you know, being, you know, supporting the little guys, supporting the poor, supporting these developing countries. But what I'm seeing here is that the IMF is self-interested. It seems like a system of control. In fact, it's hurting people. It's potentially hurting El Salvador. And what does this all boil down to? Well, I think it just comes down to the simple fact. Bitcoin provides an alternative for poor countries to operate without the necessity for the IMF. That's what it boils down to. And Alex Gladstein has done incredible work on this. He wrote a book about it, had a one-on-one fireside chat at Thank God for Bitcoin. And we were talking about this specific subject, right? About how the IMF, I'll read the words, you know, from the Bitcoin Magazine article, how the IMF and the World Bank repress poor countries and funnel their resources to rich ones. The IMF and World Bank do not seek to fix poverty, but only enrich creditor nations. Could Bitcoin create a better global economic system for the developing world? So, I mean, you know, one of my favorite features of Bitcoin that a lot of people don't talk about is that Bitcoin exposes incentives, right? And what you're seeing here is that Bitcoin is exposing the IMF for what it is. It's a system of control. It's a system to keep these countries, these developing countries, in perpetual poverty. And all of a sudden, they have an escape valve. They have Bitcoin. They have something that they can't touch. And El Salvador is a beachhead. Because if El Salvador succeeds in paying back their debts, which they have been, if El Salvador succeeds in their government model, if Nayib Bukele succeeds for making a friendly environment for businesses, a friendly protecting private property rights, then the IMF, they really have nothing to say. This is why the mainstream media is so hell-bent on attacking Nayib Bukele and attacking El Salvador. This is what it's about. So I love that Bitcoin's exposing incentives again. I love that Bitcoin's exposing the IMF for what it is. And it's absolutely disgusting. You know, they never really cared about poor people. It was always about controlling the country itself. Anyways, Opti, what's your take? And then we'll move on to our guest.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I always say it, you know, remember that El Salvador, their GDP is like $32 billion. I don't know what the actual population number is, but it's a tiny country. And the fact that the IMF is so concerned of what's happening in El Salvador just goes to show the importance of what they've done by going on the Bitcoin standard of trying to make their country actually safe and somewhere that their citizens want to live at. Imagine the novelty of having a politician, or rather a president, that cares about its citizens. Yeah, that's what Nayib Bukele is doing, and he's getting flack for it. So again, the reason they even care what's going on in El Salvador, the reason the IMF cares about what's going on in El Salvador, is because they do not want the signal to spread to other countries, other Latin American countries, other developing countries in the world. And remember the idea I was talking about last week? The new meaning of the IMF is the International Mafia Foundation. So we know they're using mafia tactics to basically strong arm these countries. They've been doing it forever, and they're going to continue to do it until that playbook doesn't work. So I don't know what that was talking about. You guys heard it on the stream. Anyways, Nico, let's pass it on. Oh, I know. Okay. Wait, no, I don't have the right one. I can't play that on YouTube.
Shucks. Okay, pass it on to Adam. Adam O'Brien, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, man, loans that come with that level of string is going to expose the time preference and, like you said, the incentives of the politicians in charge, right? If we see someone agree to that, even like it's going to, I am getting so pissed off at these politicians talking about Bitcoin when price is going up, and then completely evacuating when the price goes down or they get a little bit of pressure for their stance. Obviously, I think Javier is like hopefully going to you know, do the right thing, but like it's out of hand that the Bitcoin exposing the incentives but also the time preference of the politicians. Also, I really don't like when people say they take bets on Bitcoin, because the nobody says people are taking bets on fiat. Nobody says people are taking bets on the government or on the legacy financial system. We all say take a bet on Bitcoin. Bitcoin is opting out. And when you're not opting out, you're opting in. It's still a choice though. And so that frustrates me when people say, El Salvador took a bet on Bitcoin. Like, no, they just stopped betting on the US dollar. They stopped betting on fiat. They stopped betting on this slave money that has been driving the economy, the fake economy, the high time preference economy, the cocaine garbage that exists. And they started, you know, actually investing and actually saving in sound money. And so, I don't know, man. I'm a little bit fired up. I've had like, Nico and I were up late last night solving the world's problems. maybe a little overcaffeinated. Like, it is quite irking when politicians get involved in sound money, and that bothers me and that offends me.
Wait, I do have the soundboard for you, Nico.
Do you understand that?
Anyways, Alex Stanzik, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, so many people would have heard of this book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, right? So this is one of the guys that, go check it out. Go read it for yourself. This is not conjecture. This is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is all very well documented how the IMF operates. I can remember talking to one of the members of parliament for Tonga, explaining basically the same things. Like the IMF will come in, they'll give us a loan, but there's always conditions. And the conditions always have to do with extracting resources from the country and feeding those resources into the big Western nations, so to speak, with deals. And, you know, it just goes back and it reminds me the other day, Senator Lummis was just in a conversation. I think it was at the BPI, the Bitcoin Policy Institute Summit in Washington, yes. D.C., and she was explaining, like, when you see legislators, politicians, regulators, whatever the case may be, coming against Bitcoin, you know, part of that is that they're used to having a system of control. This system of control has existed for over 100 years, ever since 1913, with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in America. Controlling the money is the most powerful system of control. I think it was one of the Rothschilds that says, I care not basically who makes the laws. If I can control the money, I'm in charge, right? And so that's essentially what they're accustomed to doing. They're essentially accustomed to having control of all their citizens. She's like, they're acutely aware that Bitcoin represents a break from that system of control, and it scares the crap out of them, essentially.
Dude, and it's shocking to see how these overlords still think they can control Bitcoin. They still think that they can dangle fiat over these countries' heads that are literally being ruined by fiat, and they have the assumption that they're still in control, not realizing that Bitcoin literally puts governments in competition with each other. People ask me all the time, well, what happens when the Canadian government, what happens when the US government makes Bitcoin illegal? It's like, I pack up my seed phrase and get on a plane. Like, gone. See you later. And so does every other Bitcoin in the nation, or Bitcoiner in the nation. Like, see you later. GDP by the billions leaving the country because you made a dumb choice. Bitcoin puts, and then if one single jurisdiction decides they're pro-Bitcoin, which, by the way, they're happening right now. Jurisdictions are becoming pro Bitcoin. That's where the Bitcoiners flock. That's where the talent goes. That's where the proof of work goes. That's where the freedom and the sovereignty goes. And it's like aligning incentives, man. That's it. Bingo. It's putting Bitcoin or governments in competition with each other.
Okay, so one really quick thing to add on that, anecdotally speaking, just this week, I'm not going to name the country, but I was I had a Zoom call with a consular to the president of one of these countries in Africa. I'm not going to name the name. But what I'm going to say is that this is happening. This is real. This is not conjecture. This is not theory. Literal nation heads of nation states are asking questions, kind of coming to the Bitcoin ecosystem because we're on the cutting edge of all of this stuff. And they're like, who do I need to talk to? How can this benefit my country? What are the ways we can implement this stuff? How does it work?
Dude, and that's the right mindset. Governments are finally saying, like, you know, this is gunpowder. They're like, well, we were playing with war with bubbles. We had this bubble before, and it was working so well. People were getting bubble sauce in their eyes, and it was hurting. And now there's guns. What are we going to do? And it's like, we got to either, like, you're going to adopt or die. Governments will fail.
100%. I actually have the clip from Cynthia Lummis. I'm really glad that Alex brought that up. Let's check it out.
So the state of play on Capitol Hill is, I think, best explained by what I see as the overarching motivations. And in this administration, there are a number of high-ranking policy positions that are held by people who are threatened by Bitcoin because they know they can't control it. They know it's decentralized. They know its potential. And these are people that are so wedded to the government being in control of the money, how it's spent, how it's used, that they find it threatening that something exists that they can't control. And so with that policy overarching motivation, we're seeing things like a proposed 30% tax on Bitcoin mining. We're seeing things like that truly odd regulatory overreach by the Energy Information Administration over at Energy, to send out questionnaires about mining consumption of energy. That was just egregious. And so these are the policy headwinds that the Bitcoin world is facing right now. And it's really, I think, entirely based on this administration's fear of things they can't control.
So this is exactly what we've been referencing, right? And again, but the big deal here is the fact that you have to remember, this is not just Bitcoiners saying this. Now you have a U.S. senator saying the quiet part out loud. I remember me and Opti were going back and forth. Like, I was like giving them the benefit. Opti from day one was like, nah, bro, they just want to like, nah, they just hate Bitcoin because they can't control it. And I was like giving them the benefit of the doubt. But when I saw the fake Wall Street Journal article, when I saw them take advantage of, you know, the tragedy happening in Palestine and Israel to try to like sneak in using the Patriot Act, this like FinCEN proposal that would, you know, just put even more surveillance on Bitcoin. When I saw the head of the FinCEN admit to Congressman Tom Emmer that terrorists prefer using the traditional financial system, which has all these rules already in place versus Bitcoin, then I knew it was all bogus, right? And I actually have some words of wisdom for all of them.
Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we're gonna pass it. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin, guys. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to smash that like button. I'm gonna pass it to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, what are your thoughts on the demons?
Well, guys, how can I follow up? You guys just were unbelievable. So you nailed it. You haven't left me a lot to chew on here. But I will say a couple of things. I'm happy Alex brought the book by John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I recommend everybody read that so you'll understand that what everyone's saying on this panel today is not something that we just made up. It's proven. It's the way the system works. In my opinion, this has been a plan since, as Alex said, since 1913 when they got the Federal Reserve into action. That's been the whole plan from 1913 on, is to steal the wealth of everybody and raise it to the top 1 or 2% of society. And that's what's happening. So you have a choice. It's Bitcoin or slavery, just like you say, Nico. So I completely agree.
You're against Bitcoin, you're against freedom.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, we just broke 1,000 live viewers on the stream. Another 50 or 60 of you guys watching us on Rumble. So we really appreciate it. If you guys are enjoying the show, smash that like button. Before we move on to the culture segment, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor. And of course, I'm talking about the Orange Pill app. The Orange Pill app is the Bitcoin social layer. Stack friends who stack sats. In the next 5 to 10 years, Bitcoiners are going to be some of the most influential, powerful people on planet Earth. So it's probably a good idea to, stack friends who stack sats, right? If you move to a city, you don't know the people around you, the Orange Pill app is a great resource that you can just pull up and it will show you geographically the Bitcoiners that are near you. It's also the number one resource for creating Bitcoin-only events. It also has a very interesting filtration system to make sure that you're only interacting with Bitcoiners, no altcoiners, no scammers on the platform. I highly, highly recommend downloading the Orange Pill app. Simply Bitcoin has a dedicated group which you can join. Check in the video description. Anyways, guys, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about today. I want to talk to Alex. I want to talk to Adam. I want to talk to Jeffrey and just talk about the whole BitBlock boom experience so far. All right, everybody, let's get to the culture. Here we go.
The Daily Culture.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, they're the most trusted place to buy, sell, host mining equipment. You can check out their racks by scanning the QR code or checking the link in the video description. That will take you directly to their Telegram marketplace where you can connect with a member of their sales team. They make purchasing their products easy and transparent. You could also sell your mining equipment with Kaboom Racks, access their vast network of domestic and international customers. This is where I personally buy my Bitcoin mining ASICs. What are you waiting for? Visit Kaboom Racks today. All right, Opti, what do you have for us, my friend?
Well, do we start with our guest or with our panelists? Where do we start? We got so much to talk about today.
Let's start with Adam. Adam, man, you've been literally exiled from the U.S. they finally let you back in. Basically, what happened was that Adam was caught with that Alex Jones video that we played you at the airport, and they haven't let him back in since. But
I was just playing it on repeat on my phone, just getting all hyped up.
They're demons.
And they didn't like that at the customs agency. I don't know.
It's so strange. It's almost as if like they're demons. Anyways, how are you enjoying being back in the States and being back at your first Bitcoin conference in a while? Have things changed? Do you see like the movement picking up steam? Have you seen any new faces? What's your take?
Yeah, man, some new faces, some old ones. It's nice to be able to see some people. I mean, I've been in the space a long time, so it's great to see people that I haven't seen in a while. But yeah, I think it's so nice. I'm a little bit more selective with the conferences that I attend, which is why I'm so excited for Jeff's conference in somewhere near Boston. And I think that people don't understand that there's this chasm that's widening between like the freedom movement and then like the, you know, let's pump meme coins, number go up, put heroin in my arm, you know, type of conferences.
Mostly metaphorically.
Well, yeah. But like
YouTube, I just want to say it's a joke. It's just a joke.
But like these conferences are good because it's high signal. It is very much like Bitcoin focused, freedom focused, sovereignty focused. Get your coins off exchanges. Your coins will be stolen when they are sitting in an exchange. They are subject to honeypots. They are subject to bad people. They are subject to 6102. Like, it is just awesome when we talk about Bitcoin as a freedom asset, as an asset that can literally change your family's future. Your bloodline's future depends on you having Bitcoin locked in self-custody, away from anybody else's control. And that is just like so beautiful. Everyone here everyone watching right now, everyone like listening to people talk. I mean, it's just, it's dynamite. So yeah, it's quite a bit different. You know, Bitcoiners have had a weird journey of like figuring out, we've always known Bitcoin was for freedom and then got confused with like all of the, you know, the bad things that tempt you in your time preference that I won't say for YouTube algo purposes, but it's really nice to be on the right track and have everything go. Also, just quickly to give you guys, the viewers at home, a little bit of like a peek behind the scenes. I always kind of thought Nico had a script when he was reading those ad reads. There is no script, you guys. That is just off the top of the dome. That is out of hand. This is really crazy to watch. Just, you know, the brain come through the mouth is really nice. So props.
Wait, what brain?
Well, I mean, all that bleach has to do something. So,
people don't understand. They still have not learned that authenticity on the internet is a superpower. And if you speak from the heart, you do really connect with people. So we try. We try a little bit. Anyways, I'm gonna pass it on to Alex Stanzik. I'm a little bit. I've just received this information. I just wanted to confirm. Alex Stanzik, is it true that you can strangle someone with a cordless phone, metaphorically? And is it true that you can make onions cry?
Okay, I don't know about that, but...
deny it.
I will say, you know, that these conferences are fantastic. Being here in person, the energy is off the hook. It's palpable. You can feel it. And I would suggest to people who are listening to this, there's a process. You know, sometimes people start learning about Bitcoin and then they figure it out. By figure it out, I mean a light bulb goes off and they start thinking to themselves, holy cow, is this thing real? Is this really a real thing? Am I crazy right now? Does this thing have the potential to completely reverse all the bad behavioral incentives that the current monetary system has? Is that a real thing? And you start wondering, am I imagining this? And then if you come to a conference like this, sometimes people are like, well, I don't want to go to a conference because I don't know anybody there.
Yeah.
Right? But it's what I would say is come. Because what's going to end up happening is you're going to start talking to very intelligent people. You guys were joking a little bit about, you know, Nico not being that smart. Let me tell you something. This is one of the smartest dudes I know. Highly intelligent.
That's and, sad for you, man. I'm sorry.
Okay. There are others that are not Nico that you're going to run into at conferences like this that are super smart. And you'll start to realize, oh my gosh, these really smart people also understand this the way I do. Oh, it
man.
Is real.
Oh, man.
And the nice thing is, like, the first one that you come to, the first big gathering of Bitcoiners, you're right. You know, maybe you're not going to know everyone, but then the second one, you're going to know more. And then the third one, you're going to know more. And honestly, if I'm here and you come up and say what up to me, we're going to hang out and we're going to be like, let's chat about Bitcoin. Let's lower our time preference, protect our grandkids, and do it better. And I think that's, yeah, it's so good, man.
Well, what a great tee up. Let's bring in our guest here.
Before we do that, I actually wanted to give a shout out because this is the first BitBlock Boom in the exact same venue that Opti and I met each other in the flesh for the first time.
Well, this is true. You know, but wait, hold on. Pause. Not in the flesh, you know, in meat space.
In meat space. Whatever, bro. In the flesh. Okay. You guys know. You guys know.
Dude, we're going to get roasted. All right. Jeffrey, on that note, let me mute Nico.
I'm having a great time, Opti. Just listen to
awesome.
You guys.
Let's go. On that note, let's talk about the Freedom Fest. I'll pull up the website, do a TLDR, and we're just jumping in on the same idea, just great context. This is why you go to these events.
We're action-packed. We have a day of workshops. We have, Bitcoin 101. We have mining workshops. We have lightning workshops. We have Schnitzel. Mike Schmidt is coming down with his hot tub heated by ASICS miners. We have cold plunges. We have amazing speakers. We have Cattleman's Feast with Texas Slim. And, you know, and we also have the $25 non-coiner ticket, which is very important to get everybody involved. Because I think, just to touch on what Alex was saying, I think one of the main things is people have to first realize that there's a problem with the fiat dollar. Because if you just come at them with, look at that, that's one of our number one speakers right there. Go meet Adam May 4th. But you have to, people have to understand that there's a problem with the fiat dollar, and then you can start opening their mind to, well, then we have a solution to the problem. So I think that's important to stress when you're talking to people. And then one more thing about the festival. Friday night, we're having a pleb party. Andrews will be there. It's not an official Andrews pleb party. Andrews is the MC of the event. But we're doing it on the rooftop of the MGM Grand Casino Hotel in Springfield. We've rented out the rooftop, so that we have a pleb party Friday night. Saturday, we have the festival all day long. I just can't encourage people enough to at least try to make the effort to attend. I guarantee your life will be better in the positive way at the end of that weekend. And I'll give you your money back for your ticket that you purchased if that's not the case.
Ooh.
Talk about speaking with your hands. I like that.
Damn, man. I gotta go to one of these, man, because I've done a lot of the, you know, Bitcoin. I've done a lot of the Bitcoin conferences, but I've never been to a Freedom Festival. So, and again, like if you are pro freedom, you're pro Bitcoin by default. You just probably, and if you aren't aware of it, you just still building his vocabulary. Dude, I mean that's never gonna work out. If you speak two languages, then let's have a conversation. But the freedom, like if you are pro freedom, if you're part of the freedom movement, you're a default Bitcoiner. You just, and if you're not, you just don't know it yet. It's just a matter of education, right? So I'm really glad that, you know, we're getting outside of the Bitcoin echo chamber. And because there's a lot of people, there's a tremendous amount of people that are that are pro freedom, but they're just not aware. They're just not aware of the most powerful freedom enabling tool that exists, that was discovered, invented, however which way you want to see it, in the history of mankind, right? So that's my take,
Adam,
on that.
That's exactly was our thought. We were Trojan horsing in Bitcoin. We wanted it to be a freedom festival because more people align with freedom than they do with Bitcoin. We want to get them in under the tent and then teach them about the most magnificent tool discovered to mankind, which is Bitcoin. So that's awesome. Exactly what we did.
Bars. Well, guys, we skipped last Friday's meme review, and a lot of you guys got upset. So, you know, we got Opti's meme review lined up for you guys, and we'll end the week strong. And then we'll go back to the conference. By the way, we will be streaming the entire conference tomorrow. It's the first for Simply Bitcoin's history. So we're really, really excited for that. Opti and I will be manning the news desk. We'll also be streaming the panels, the entire conference. So make sure to tune into the Simply Bitcoin channel. We'll also be streaming it on Twitter, and we'll opt to be streaming it on Spaces as well. So really looking forward to that. Should be awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, no more delay. Opti's Friday Meme Review.
Opti's Friday Meme Review.
We really got to get Sophie's voice on that.
You're the one that's lagging on that. Anyways.
Actually, you know what would be fucking hilarious? Isabella's voice.
Yes, we need a more Miami voice.
Opti's Friday Meme Review.
It's a little bit Valley Girl, isn't it? It's just too much Valley, not enough Miami.
Yeah, we need a little more Miami. Anyways, enough roasting of Opti. This is all anyone ever does on the show. This is the meme review. It's the Friday meme review, so we have to give it to you the Friday, but we're going to change it to just Opti's meme review so we can move it around on whatever day if we miss it on a Friday, if the show goes too long. But you already know the deal, guys. Tag me in the memes. Drop them in our Telegram groups. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. You guys are frontline soldiers. Continue to spread the memes. Continue to get the calls of action out there. Continue to ridicule the corporate press, the politicians, the bureaucrats, every single one of the, the reptiles, whatever you want to call them. Anyways, we didn't say that on YouTube. All right. First one is from the infamous Darth Mod. If you hang out in our Telegram group, again, guys, this is like a 2 week old meme review. I kept some old ones in there and updated some new ones. But here is Nico live from El Salvador. You can see the volcano in the background. And we have Darth Mod, the infamous Darth Mod. He goes, buy and use Bitcoin fiat delenda s, which I think is Latin for end fiat. You guys can fact check me. Next one is, this is might be my favorite one here. Here we have Nico on stage at El Salvador having party. He's eating a burger or something. And we have Greg Zaj looking very lovingly at the burger. And we have Big Sean Harris go, friendship in Bitcoin with Eric Stacks, Greg Zaj, and BitVolt. But the real meme here is Joe Rogers, and he goes, find you a man that looks at you the way at Greg Zaj looks at BitVolt eating a hot dog. Wait, did I? Yeah, okay, we showed it. Okay, all right, next one. Next one is our boy, the Bitcoin therapist, and of course, this is the hangover where they're all gambling, and it goes, when everyone thinks you're gambling, but it's just simple mathematics, hashtag Bitcoin, and they're throwing the craps dice, and it's just, you know, the math behind Bitcoin, hard cap to 21 million Bitcoin. It's just math, guys. It's not gambling. Okay, this next one is by BTC Breakdown. And he goes, when guys say their wife won't allow them to buy Bitcoin, this is who you are. Stack sats for your bloodline. This is the way.
That's a joke, YouTube. That's just a joke.
What are they talking about? There was nothing bad there. Okay, next one is by Boomer, a.k.a. The Ruler's Broken. And he goes, on our way to audit the gold in Fort Knox at Opti's meme review. And then tags Nico. And you can see Nico sitting on the front of, you know, a Humvee here. And then Opti with the cannon behind me calling the charge to audit Fort Knox. And he goes, Simply Bitcoin live chat and Telegram crew on the back end. Wait, hold on. I think I got a soundboard for you guys. Wait. Oh, it's not on the first page. Okay, anyways, I had a soundboard in there. All right, next meme is by Citadel is coming, and he goes, you have too much fiat and not enough Bitcoin, and we got the classic Drake hotline bling meme here. And he goes, wait, no, not just 1% in Bitcoin. The true amount of Bitcoin you should have is just 1% of fiat. Everything else is in Bitcoin. This is the way, guys. This is the way. And then the last one, shouts out to Bitcoin Becca, a.k.a. at Ghost of Becca, and the BT Weekly Gossip Mag, and, you know, updating you on all the gossip that's happening in Bitcoin. And this one goes, BT Weekly, latest issue, all the spicy details below. Is BlackRock fighting for freedom money? Are Bitcoin devs being blackmailed? What really happened in El Salvador with Yellow Speaker? FBI agents infiltrate meetups? Oh, wrecked. Becca's never-ending pregnancy drama, and you can see Odell and Sailor on the front. It goes, Odell versus Sailor, showdown over devs. You can see Sean's confession of stealing Yellow speaker. We have Yellow down here distraught because he lost his speaker. We have Magoo up here. Where is the FBI? Fears government agencies will turn into toxic maxis. And then we have a pregnant Becca with laser-eyed baby and goes, still pregnant. Will her pregnancy ever end? Okay, guys. All right, drop your meme review live in the chat and we will cover it. On that note, we have to get some meme scores here. Some transition. So actually, I know what mine's gonna be. I know what mine's full screen me. This is mine. This is mine, Nico. Sorry. I'm gonna give the fiat maxis out there some salty tears, some sea salt by Bitcoin well in everyone's goodie bag. Bitcoin is freedom. Enable independence. This looks like some good salt. Can we comment on what kind of salt this is? Is this pink Himalayan?
That is pink Himalayan salt.
I'm kind of upset because that was totally going to be my score, but
bars.
Fine. I will. Fine. I will give it a Bitcoin physical Bitcoin well.
Wait, is that a Cazacious coin?
No.
Yeah, we have them just lying on the table up here.
That's what I'm gonna give it. That's my score because Opti stole my score.
Hey, beggars are choosers.
And a Bitcoin veteran's hat.
I gotta think I'm gonna win with this one because I have Opti's BitBlock Boom name tag with the iconic BitBlock Boom noob pin that he didn't want anyone to know. He's actually not a Bitcoin Boom
you
block.
Know, I've only been here, what, 3-4 years in a row, but I am still a BitBlock Boom noob. Okay.
You'll get there. It's okay. You'll get there one day.
Alex Danzik, what would you give those memes?
Oh, well, there's one meme in particular that I thought was really fantastic. Am I allowed to talk about the one I like the most?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So the one I like the most was definitely find yourself a man that looks at you the way Greg Zaj looks at Nico's hot dog. I got to say, that was pretty damn good. So I'm going to give that one my favorite, a Bitcoin Veterans Ostrich Helmet Operator sticker. Fantastic.
Absolute bars. Absolute bars. Anyways, Jeffrey, what would you give those memes?
Well, I loved them all. My favorite was the Odell Sailor magazine color cover. And I'm not quite sure how it works here, but I'm going to give a mass adoption sweatshirt.
Boom. That's a great score. That's a great score. All right, let's get to some of the audience scores, Opti. Let's get through like five or six. All right, no, people forgot, man.
No, I got some.
Okay. MG Smith, I give the memes Michael Saylor demanding a paternity test when Becca.
Oh, man.
Okay, Matt Free, I rate the memes a joint bikini whack.
I didn't read it.
Okay, Tyler Durden, Swallow the Red Pill, says, I score two-day-old chicken tenders. Okay. Soshi Satoshi, my meme score is my MTV deathmatch of Sailor vs. Odell. If you know, you know.
Classic.
Love it. All right, next one by McLovin. Opti's air horn in an ultimate showdown with Nico's cowboy. Whoa.
We got it live. All right, face off. Now, my air horn is way more powerful.
Okay. you let us know in the chat who won that face off. All right, next one. Satwise Janks, I give the memes four toxic OG Bitcoiners. Okay.
This one might be a little iffy, but we're going to pull it up.
Opti's so backfields. Never eat or shower at a hotel, then go home to your loving waifu, who is expecting to be very rich. That's cool, Mark. Vistnok, meme score. I'm just happy you're paying back your meme review debts. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Keith, I give the meme a 9-ounce sirloin Pittsburgh rare. All right, Opti, I think we're out of time, brother.
One more.
All right, one more. SP, I give the memes a Nick Opti, Super Saiyan Boltard. Oof, I love that one. And that was the buzzer. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. If you guys want more memes, tune in to next Friday's Simply Bitcoin show. I do want to give a very special shout out to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for putting together mass adoption. That's really neat. Maybe we go next year as Simply Bitcoin. It's really, really cool. Thank you so much for joining us. For the audio listeners, go to massadoption.net if you want more information on Jeff. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. I also want to give a very special shout out to our panelists today. We have Adam O'Brien, the CEO and founder of Bitcoin Well, and of course, Alex Stanzik, managing director at Swan Private, and also the host of Bitcoin Veterans as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Guys, that was another...
Wait, Nico, sorry. I'm going to cut you off. Let's get last two sats from Alex and Adam before we go off. So we'll go with Alex first. What is the last two sats for the audience? What's the last message you want to leave with the people out there in cyberspace?
Well, I just think one of the most important things that was discussed today was when Nico said that Bitcoin reveals your intentions. It reveals basically what you're all about. And I think what's going to end up happening moving forward is you're going to have to pick a side. Like when you said before that, like, people who are anti-Bitcoin or anti-freedom, I think that is 100% correct. And time is proving that out. There are clearly going to be two sides to this equation, and people who are against Bitcoin are going to be, in my mind, they're against freedom. They want the systems of control. I don't think that's a good thing. Any human being alive within the hearing of my voice would prefer freedom over slavery, unless you're a lizard.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Adam, final words.
Yeah, man. I mean, part of that freedom, Bitcoin and self-custody, baby. We cannot harp on this enough. You guys, we're talking about seed plates. We're talking about hardware wallets. We're talking about self-custody by default. Get your coins in your hands so you are not subject to the lizards.
100%, and use Simply Bitcoin's referral code, not Ben's. Go to bitcoinwell.com/simplybitcoin. And Ben and I are currently on a face-off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hit Nico this morning that BTC Sessions referral code has yielded more users for...
That's fake news!
is absolute bullshit, bro. That's no way. We didn't even start implementing the referral code till after. Anyways, Ben got a head start. Anyways, love you guys all. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys enjoyed the show, smash the like button and consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. And of course, we'll be back next week for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I'll be back in Miami. Some final words from one of our guests today.
Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons.
This episode was brought to you by BitcoinWell.com, a Bitcoin-only platform on a mission to enable financial independence.